A little nervous. Hello, my name is John. I'm an alcoholic. I'm a little nervous speaking at this group because this is the way the real deal takes place, you know? But it's steps 1, 2, and 3, my experience. You know, I'm just going to go into a brief, you know, history of my alcoholism. You know, I started drinking really early, really young. You know, I was like 9 or 10. You know, I just, I remember the first time I drank, I snuck down the I had a full bar in my basement. We had the 70s basement, you know, fully stocked bar. You know, so I went down there and I had an orange crush bottle. I filled it up half with Irish whiskey and I got 4 cans of Schaefer. And I went out to the trailer. I had a pop-up camper on the side of my house. And I started drinking, you know. I didn't know how much to drink. I just seen, you know, it's what my parents did. It's what all my families did. And I got drunk. I passed out, you know. And I blacked out. I woke up in my bedroom, you know. And that was my first experience, you know, with a blackout. I didn't know it was a blackout then. I just, you know, but it was like, I didn't really get in trouble, you know, because I grew up in a dysfunctional family. So it was like, oh, Johnny's coming of age, you know. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't that big of a deal, you know. But that's how my drinking career started, you know. Once I start, I don't have that capacity to stop, you know. I'm not going to go into a long history, but, like, it was fun in the beginning, you know. I used to, on the weekends, you know, I used to look forward for the weekends, you know. We were young. We built forts. Like, I lived in Farmingdale, and there was these woods next to us, and we used to build forts, and the older guys would come by and buy us beer and, you know, other things with us, you know, and I thought it was just the best thing, you know, and they gave me a nickname, Johnny, they gave me a nickname. It was Budweiser, you know, and I just thought, you know, it's like Bill says, I have arrived. That was like the coolest nickname ever, you know, and I lived up to that, you know. But when I drink, I do, like it says in the book, I do incredible tragic things when I drink, you know, like the real alcoholic. All right, the first time I got arrested, I was like 16, 17 years old. I was arrested. I was on top of a liquor store with an axe trying to chop a hole in the roof. So talk about incredible tragic things, you know. That's what I do when I drink, you know. You know, and I should have known then, you know. But my drinking career, that's what I did. You know, I went to the extreme. Always the extreme. I never had just one. I never just, you know. You know, I'm driving tonight, you know, I always drank, you know, and long story short, you know, I just did things like that throughout my drinking career. You know, by 16, I was in my first rehab after that incident, you know. 18, I was in jail for the first time, you know, but that, you figured that would stop me, you know. I figured going to jail would be like, hey, maybe I got a problem with alcohol, you know. And it didn't, you know, because the old times, you know, showed me how to make wine. So I was making wine in jail, and I was drinking in jail, you know, and doing other things, too. You know, and I got out of jail real quick. I was in the parking lot. I was out of jail for 3 minutes. I had a beer in my hand, you know, and that night, I don't remember. You know, and then 3 days later, I was back in front of the judge again. This time it was serious, you know. It was 1/3 to 4 years in prison, or you go to a therapeutic community. You know, so I took it the easy way, the easiest, softer way. I went to the therapeutic community because I couldn't do prison. You know, and up there, that's when I learned about alcoholism for the first time. You know, I learned what an alcoholic is. You know, I'm an alcoholic. I come from an adult children of alcoholic. I don't know the family dynamics. You know, and that place actually, it stopped me. You know, it stopped me. And I think that actually saved my life because the things I was doing other substances too. I was going in and out of, you know, Brooklyn and... it was just insane, you know, at a young age, really young age. So after I got out of there, I just didn't drink for a number of years, you know. I was just a guy that didn't drink. I would hang out with the same people, do the same things, you know, and I just didn't drink, you know. But every once in a while, you know, that thought would come into my mind, hey, I can have one, you know. I can have not, I shouldn't say one. I never had one in my life. Just one more time. Just one more time. And I would do it. And I would drink. And it's like the last time. So I would go on a binge. And I would be out for 3-4 days. You know. And I'd come back. You know. And it was years in between these incidences. You know. And then, you know, during this time, you know, I my life got good. You know. I went back to school. You know. I went back to school. I realized I had a brain. You know. And I actually studied and stuff. You know. And I was in college, and I met a girl who drank like I did, you know, drank like I did. But, you know, she was able to control it. Like, she was able to stop and go home, you know, and we hooked up. And And I didn't drink for like a year before this, you know. And we were in Cancun. We were on a vacation in Cancun, and she came back from the pool, and she had one of those fruit drinks, whatever they are, fruit punch drinks, and she wanted to take a shower, you know. And she didn't. She says, you know, she's always like, "Why don't you drink?" I said, "I just don't drink. Believe me, you don't want me to drink. You don't want me to drink." So I drank the fruit punch thing, you know. By the time she comes out of the shower, I'm already in the mini bar, you know, sucking down, you know, things, you know. And that night, you know, we rented a dune buggy, you know, when I was driving around Mexico looking for cocaine, you know. That's what I was doing, you know. And you know. And then so now. Now I had a partner. You know, and you know, those years became months, became days. You know, and I graduated from Molloy College. You know, I graduated top of my class. I got a job at a prestigious cancer hospital in the city, and you know, I'm like, all right, I can finally drink. Like, you know, I can finally drink. I'm a college graduate, right? I got a job. You know, I'm an adult now. I can drink normally. You know, that every attempt I made at drinking normally always ended up in disaster. You know, I was at this job for 6 months. You know, and they already the boss called me in and said, you know, we got a problem. You know, I only worked 3 days a week. You know, I was on the three, and you know, I couldn't make it to work. You know, and that was my first experience into this fellowship. You know, it was actually a different fellowship, but it used the same basic text of Alcoholics Anonymous, you know, and I met a sponsor, my teacher at the time, you know. But before, let me back up before this, the girl I was seeing got pregnant, so we got married. You know, that's how it works in my family, you know. We don't do it, you know, you're supposed to, you know, that's how it works in my family. So I'm at this job like 6 months, you know, when I have a baby at home. There's a baby at home, and John would disappear for like 3 days. You know, I would go out, and I just wouldn't stop. You know, the insanity just kept me going. You know, kept me going. So I meet the sponsor. He takes me through this big book. You know, and my life got good after that. You know, I had a spiritual experience. I did back then, and life was okay. Like I got promoted at work. You know, I bought a house. You know, I got a big boat on the side of my house. I had a pool. I had it pretty good. But I want to share this part of my story because it's my wife lost her brother. And after she lost her brother, she went hard into alcohol and drugs, you know. And so now it was my job to fix her, you know. I said, God, you can have the alcohol and everything else, but I'm going to fix this person, you know. And I tried to fix her. You know, I got her into four rehabs, you know. And I would break into crack houses, you know, just like and grab her and pull her out, you know. And look at me, I'm 5 foot nothing. I didn't care. I was insane. I was insane because I loved this woman, and I just wanted to save her and help her. But by doing that, you know, I stopped doing this stuff. I stopped focusing on my own recovery. I focused on her, and I relapsed. I remember it was one night. I never forget it. It was a giant game. I came home. I was with my brothers. We had a great time. I came home and it was just a moment of anger. I picked something up and I went with it. And I said, you know what I said to myself? I said, I'll come back tomorrow. Don't worry about it. I'll come back tomorrow. That tomorrow was 2 years later. 2 years later. And alcoholic destruction. You know, it was insane. You know, I went at it hard. I went at it hard. You know, I lost the, you know, it took some time, but I lost the job in the city. I lost the house, you know, and I got arrested. I got arrested again. This time it was serious, you know. I got arrested for armed robbery, you know, and I robbed a drug dealer. I didn't think you can get arrested for that, you know. but guess what? You can. You can. You know? So, you know, and I remember being arrested. I'm like, oh, you know, my life is over. I was in jail for 3 days. I had to put my house up for bail and stuff. You know, and for those 3 days, I didn't think about anything else but the next one. The next one. I knew the cops didn't get everything at my house, and I knew I had something in the basement. And that's all I thought about for 3 days. And I was insane with thinking about that. You figured if I was a moderate drinker or even a heavy drinker or what do you call them, you know, a functional alcoholic, you know, one of those guys, that they wouldn't be focusing on that. But that's all I focused on, you know. I went home and that's exactly what I did, you know. And long story short, you know, I went in front of the judge, and every time, this is God working in my life. Every time I went to court, the guy who I robbed was in jail, you know. And the last time I went in front of the judge, you know, he chased his landlord with a hatchet. You know, he was in jail. So that's, you know, so what the judge said to me was, you know, Mr. Robinson, you know, it was on Robbie. And he says, if you plead guilty to a Class C felony right now, you know, we'll drop that charge down to a misdemeanor, petty larceny, if you're good for 1 year, right? If you're good for 1 year. Now, a normal person, like a non-alcoholic, would be like, okay, I'll do that. You know, I'll do that. You know, I won't drink for a year. I'll stay good. But I lasted 3 days. 3 days, and I was at it again, you know? And that whole period, that whole year that I was on whatever it was, I was out of my mind. I was out of my mind, and I was doing some incredible, tragic things, you know? I'm not going to go into all of it because I'm on tape, you know? But you get the idea. You know what I mean? You get the idea, you know? So after all this, I'm going to end this quick. I was on a curb in handcuffs again, you know, and they found something in the back of the car, and I look up. I'm like, God, just take me. I don't want to do this anymore. I just wanted to die. I just wanted to die, you know. I just wanted it to end because I was killing myself. I didn't have the guts to kill myself, but I was doing it slowly over a period of whatever, you know. And after that, like another miracle happened. One of the crackheads in the back of the car said it was his, you know, which is like, who would say that, you know? And they let me go, you know? And the next day, I said, you know, I look up, I'm like, all right, next day I went into detox, you know? I remember I was 120 pounds. I weighed myself today, I'm 170, you know? So imagine me 50 pounds lighter. You know, I was sick, I was desperate, and, you know, and that's where my journey began, you know? That was my step one, you know, powerlessness, totally defeated, beaten, destroyed. My life was destroyed, you know, and I got out of there and got a detox and I went to a rehab, you know, and my roommate was getting high. I'm like, I gotta go. I'll just go to AA, right? You know, I could do it, you know. So that's what I did. I did the AA rehab. You know, there was a meeting at 10, 1, and 5 every day, and I did that. 10, 1, and 5, 10, 1, and 5, 10, 1, and 5. You know, and I got about 30 days together. And I want to share this one thing, because this is like my real step one. I lost custody of my daughter, you know, and I finally, and I was clean for like whatever. I had like a 30 days, and I convinced my in-laws to let us spend the day with me, because we're going to go Christmas shopping, you know. And I love my, if those of you who know me know how much my daughter means to me. And so she came over. It was so great to see her. I was so happy to see her, you know. And then I went out to the car to clean out the car, you know, because there was stuff in it, you know. I just didn't want her to, you know. And I found something. Now, this is where it is. I didn't want to. This was against my will. I didn't want to do it. But it was like I was a robot, and I had to, and I had to. And I went into my garage, and I did it, you know. And then what happens? The phenomenon of craving comes up. Whatever, and I had to say to my little girl, I gotta go, daddy's gotta go, and this girl was crying, you know, she was crying, and she's like, daddy, please, and I couldn't, I was gone, you know, and that's when I came into contact with, you know, someone who had the solution again, you know, I came in the solution, and he took me through the first 164 pages, you know, that's where my journey began, you know, and so that's my step one. You know, I'm powerless over alcohol. When page 30, it says we conceded to our innermost self. There wasn't a little bit of doubt. Maybe I'm a functional alcoholic. I don't know what that term comes from. You know, functional. You know, I was never functional. You know, but that last whatever. I was done. I was done. And then it came to step two. You know, came to believe. You know, and that was a tough one for me. You know. But faced with, like, alcoholic destruction, my destruction, and I work with a sponsor, and God bless him, you know, he made it easier. He made it easy, you know. He's like, you know, just all you got to do is be willing to believe, you know. And that's all it is, you know. And be willing to believe, you know. That's all, you know. And And Do I believe? No, I didn't believe right then, but I was willing to believe, you know, and so that's where my journey began. And, you know, and he read through these things, and he would put my name into it, you know, and be like, you know, that there's the whole bunch of questions that I asked, you know, we were prey to misery and depression, and he would put my name in it. John was a prey, and he would be like, true or false? And I'd be like, true. You know, all those questions. And then it came to the next page, and it was like, God either is or he isn't. You know, that's where it got me. That's, you know, it's he either is or he isn't. You know, what's your choice? And I was like, I choose God, you know, because I was so like, lost, you know? You know, and that phrase in the book helps me out so much. It's even today when I have my current doubts, you know, God either is everything or he's nothing. He either is or he isn't. You know, what's our choice to be? You know? And I choose God, you know? I do, and I just came back from a spiritual retreat for this weekend, you know, which was great right before this, you know, because it get me pumped up, you know? And it was awesome. It was awesome. It really was. I really enjoyed it, and I was telling Paulie outside, like, I had a newcomer with me 3 hours there and 3 hours back, you know? So it was just talking about the big book and talking about this and talking about how it works, you know? And that was just amazing. I just had such a great thing, you know? And I don't know how I'm doing on time. Let me go to step three. Step three is the decision, right? It's the decision. We turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand him, right? When I first heard that, I'm like, what? What do I do? You know? I got to turn what? In my will? You know? And but what do they say? You know you've done step three if you do 4 to 9, right, Paulie? That's how it goes? 4 to 9, you know? And that's what it was for me in the beginning. You know, in the beginning, it was, you know what? You just do steps 4 through 9. Do steps 4 through 9. You know, and I did. I jumped. I did. That's what I did. You know, I made a decision. But there's more to that today. There's more to that today. You know, step three, you know, it says we got to quit playing God. You know, we got to quit trying to control our environment to make me happy. If everyone acts like the way I want them to, we'd all be happy, including myself, right? We'd all be happy, right? Well, I have a teenage daughter at home, you know. I try to control that, you know. I just, you know, it doesn't happen all the time, you know. It doesn't happen. So, you know, I got to quit playing God, you know. And step three, they have a nice prayer in that, you know, a nice prayer that, you know, that I say daily. You know, I say daily, and I make that part of my daily routine, you know, my daily routine. And part of it, it's like, take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those that would help with thy power and thy love and thy way of life. And that's what I'm doing now. I'm bearing witness. You know, God took away my obsession to use, you know, and it's a miracle. I swear to God, like how bad I was to how good my life is today, that all those things fell into place. You know, I'm still able to practice as a nurse, you know, and I got custody of my daughter now, and my life is just amazing, you know, it's just amazing. And it's all because of these steps, you know. You know, and I think I'm good. Thanks.